We continue tonight, and we've taken some time to accomplish it. I know reviewing the New Hampshire Confession of Faith that our church adopted when she was founded some 58 years ago, and then we have one that's in parallel to that we have on our website. That the church, I think, adopted maybe in the 90s, or was brought to the church and has had for some time. And so, we have these things that are held to, or at least we say to from as our church are held to. And it's good for us to take such things and review them from time to time. And, of course, since I've been here, we have not done so, maybe touched on different subject matter at different messages or different maybe even series that we might bring. But it's good for us to go through it. I don't want it to be a tedious thing to you, and I don't want it to be ho-hum and boring. Nothing worse than listening to somebody that's just drones on about a subject and is just... Not that a preacher or a pastor is to be entertaining, but I do want to make it to where it is we can enjoy it as we look at it, and we can understand it and receive it. How many of you, let's just say in the last 10 years, how many of you have been through a study like this of the New Hampshire Confession of Faith in the last 10 years? So that kind of begs the question that begs the thing that we need to take the time to go through it, don't we? And especially since our church holds to it. And so we're doing so, and we're getting about to the end of it. And then even with this one tonight, as I told somebody last Wednesday, I appreciate your prayers for me, and at times different ones will compliment about the message, and I appreciate that. And am thankful for your prayers for me about it. But truly, it is hard to preach another man's message, a group of scriptures and things that are brought out like it is with this New Hampshire Confession of Faith. I wouldn't necessarily put it together this way. But we do hold to it, and I just don't want to parrot it, and do interject from time to time. And we'll kind of see that in this one tonight. I think that it's truly a subject that we need to deal with, and that we need to have a standing about it from the scriptures. But I wouldn't have put it together this way, okay? But we'll review it, and then in time, as the Lord helps us and blesses, we'll maybe take and adjust them to make it more appropriate. But understand this. We need to be students of God's Word. And remember what the Apostle Paul, writing to Brother Timothy, study to show in 2 Timothy 2:15, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And granted, he is writing to a preacher, a pastor, but you know what? That's good for all of us. That is good for all of us. And then I happen to think, in regards to studying the Word of God, what Solomon, or studying anything, what Solomon wrote in Ecclesiastes 12:12, and further by these, my son, be admonished of making many books, there is no end, and much study is a weariness of the flesh. And so it is that way. But may we be encouraged in the new man, and may we hear what our Lord says, and may we grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord, and may He help us. And you pray for me, pray for me that I'll bring you as a pastor and a pastor of Olmsted Baptist Church, I'll bring you good food from the Word of God and what the Lord would have us to be looking into and be admonished in and studying in and learning about. Passed out sheets. I think everybody's got one on this, the New Hampshire Confession of Faith. We're in Article 15 of the Christian Sabbath. Some of these other ones have indeed overlapped with the one that we have on the website. I don't know how else to refer to it than that, our statement of faith on the website. And so those we'll just let be, like the baptism and the Lord's Supper. We covered that well. But here of the Christian Sabbath, as it's worded here in the New Hampshire Confession of Faith, we want to take a look at it, and then we want to kind of consider how it's put together. Again, I wouldn't put it together this way, and I don't mean that to be critical or condemning. It's just some of the points it's hard for me to see that the brother was putting together as he what he's getting at here. So we'll look at it, and then we'll I'll interject some things as we go. Of the Christian Sabbath, and if you've got an updated copy, if it says today's date there, August 19th, 2015. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath, and it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreations, by the devout observance of all the means of grace, both private and public, and by preparation for the rest that remaineth for the people of God. Okay? So maybe you even saw something there. And you know, here's something that I've found. Again, this is not to be critical. It's just kind of humorous. Churches that we fellowship with and brethren that we love have this on their websites, and which is, we need to hold forth what it is that we believe. But, you know, I wouldn't have said all about what that says like that, that way. There needs to be some tweaks, and we'll get to that when we get there. We just don't need to take something and just, because others had it, have it, that we just take it without even observation of what it is. And that's something that I've learned in this. Again, I'm not quarreling with the doctrine, the Baptist fundamentals and foundational things, distinctives that we hold to. I'm not quarreling with that. But it's just, and we take something to heart because Brother so-and-so does, or because it's just practice to do so, you know, we can hold forth maybe a bad message in some points. And so we just need to be careful, and we need to be aware of what it is that we hold forth to this world and to those in our region and community. Okay, we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath. Let's run through these scriptures here and see what we have. In Acts chapter 20, verse number 7, "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight." Now, I've never preached till midnight, so be ye thankful, okay? And we've not had a watch night service or anything like that where maybe I could have preached in the new year. Maybe sometime we'll do that. But Paul is there with them, and they've sailed from Philippi, verse number 6, after the days of unleavened bread, came to them of Troas in 5 days, and where we abode 7 days. So they're at Troas, and then the first day of the week. And, you know, remember, and we need to remember that as we go through these scriptures, the Apostle Paul's practice was when he went into a city, that he, especially a city he had not been, had not visited before, he would go to the synagogue to preach to the Jews, because he knew that that's where they would congregate and that's where they would be. That's what they held to. And that last day of the week, the Sabbath day or Saturday, the seventh day that the Lord had made, the day of rest, and in which he had instructed Israel about the day of rest and worship. And so he would do that. But here with these brethren at Troas, upon the first day of the week, okay? And I looked up a message or some notes that I put together years ago about this subject. And if you want a copy of this, I'll be glad to get it, give it to you. But the first day of the week, interesting phrase in the King James translation, without fail, when you look this phrase up in the scripture, there's 7 occasions where it's listed. First day of the week, it was the writers in the Greek were writing first Sabbath. First Sabbath. That's the way it is in the Greek. And what had happened is our brethren, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and Luke and Acts, as they referred to this first day of the week, it comes through in our, into English as the first day of the week, they're referring to this, all of them, as the first Sabbath. There had been a change that had taken place from the time of when the Jews had and held to the seventh day of the week for the day of rest, coming aside from the labors of the world. The Lord gave at the beginning in the creation 6 days of labor, and on the seventh day rested. And then what he commanded Israel to be that even being a day at times of holy convocation where the people would come together. There would be the worship of the Lord in that, especially those that were near unto Jerusalem, that it would be that way. And so here, this church at Troas, these brethren are found meeting together on the first day of the week. And what did they have? They met together, as was the pattern, and the apostle Paul, coming and visiting them, preached. And he preached unto them until late in the night. He had a lot of preaching and teaching to do, didn't he? And so by this study of this, these words, first day of the week in the King James, you study that, it's plain that that is the day when the Lord's people and his churches are to meet together to worship our Lord. And now the reason that that's the case is because Jesus, when he rose from the dead, we're going to read some scriptures that mention that, when he rose from the dead at that time, on that first day of the week, what they called the first Sabbath was when he met with his church. And he made a pattern and a habit of that during that 40 days that he was with them. And so, and we see that borne out in the book of Acts. In Genesis chapter 2, okay, so this is, we believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath. The next reference is Genesis chapter 2, and we might kind of scratch our heads with that, why this would be referenced. But we do see principle. There's that principle of one day of seven that's held to from the beginning. One day of seven. In Genesis 2, verse number 3, and God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it. In verse number 2, and on the seventh day God ended his work which he had made, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had made. Verse 3, and God blessed the seventh day and set it apart, sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. And so this principle of one day of seven, we still hold to. It's a different day. Was God tired? No. We're going to see that the Lord made that day of rest, the Sabbath day, for man. But there is that principle, and that verse doesn't support it being the first day of the week, but it does show the principle that our Lord established. In Colossians chapter 2, we read over here in verses 16 and 17. Let's back up here. Verse number 9, for in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, that is Jesus, and you are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. He is the top. He is the leader of all. He is in control of all, in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, and putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, not physical circumcision, but that of the heart, and that of the being dead to self and sin and the world and Satan and all that, what we're saved from, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith of the operation of God. God's good work in us. The word there, operation of God, is energia. It's his power, his working, who hath raised him from the dead. And you being dead in your sins and in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened or made alive together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man, here's our target verses, let no man therefore judge you in meat, Don't allow, and we saw that in Romans this past Sunday, didn't we? Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of a new moon or the Sabbath days. And I believe what the Apostle Paul is directly speaking about is that of Judaism. Well, we know of some here, even in recent times that we know of, that have fallen into this Judaism thing. And so it's not given to the Gentiles in any way for us to follow after the Judaic law. It was given to the Jews for that time, and now that's past. That's past even for them. The Lord is the answer of all of those things. Let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or respect of an holy day or of a new moon or of Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come, but the body is of Christ. And so maybe what the brother is getting at is that of the last day of the week, being the day of rest or the Sabbath day, was pointing to when the Lord Jesus would come and would establish that the first day of the week would be the day of rest, coming aside from the world, one day out of seven, where the things of the Lord and rest were put last in the week at the beginning. Now we put our Lord first in the week because he's preeminent. He's above all. Well, we should worship our Lord first in the week, shouldn't we? And so we see this here and wonder if maybe that's not the application of the scripture. In Mark chapter 2, verse number 27, Mark chapter 2, verse number 27, here our Lord declaring about the Sabbath, and they had quarrel with the Lord about the brethren doing healing, the Lord Jesus healing on the Sabbath day. And then there was the occasion of where the apostles were going through the fields of corn and were getting corn and shucking it as they went and eating it on the Sabbath day. And the Lord states plainly, the Sabbath, verse 27, Mark 2, 27, he said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man and not man for the Sabbath. The Sabbath, the day of rest, that one day of seven, it's made for our benefit, not for us to worship it. And that's what the Jews had fallen into. They hallowed the day, and indeed we're to hallow the day unto the Lord. It's because of him. We're to worship him. It's a day set aside for him, but they held on to the day. And the Lord said, the Sabbath, the man wasn't made for the Sabbath. Sabbath was made for the man and not the man for the Sabbath. Therefore, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. We've got to remember this. The Lord instructs and commands us, but the Lord can do anything he wants to when he wants to. And in him is no sin or wickedness found at all. it's kind of akin to this. You brethren that have children, you would be at home with your children while your dear wife would be away doing something. And you would get out the peanut butter and jelly to make a peanut butter and jelly sandwich. And your child would say, Daddy, don't do that without talking to Mama. Right? See, we don't look to hold our Lord to any. If he wanted to heal on the Sabbath, it's right. And if he wanted to instruct his disciples to eat the corn on the Sabbath day, it's right. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. It's not it was made for man, not man to be chained to it. And in it, we don't honor the day, we honor our Lord. Our Lord. It may be that in some hearts and minds that would be a fine line. But the day is the Lord's day. And that principle of one of seven is still at hand. And we need to understand, it's a gift from our Lord to have one day of seven, where we take all the things servile, all the things of the world, our regular work and schooling and all that kind of thing that we do just normally all through the week, all that of life. And on that one day, the first day of the week, we come apart from that to worship our Lord. And I've said that recently, that maybe now, especially in our culture, the distance that we have between each one and many in the church house and how we operate in our day to day, it very well may not be a day of rest for your body till you get home and hit that recliner or that couch. All right. Some try to start that in the pew, but I encourage you not to. But it may not be a restful day physically, but it indeed is a restful day spiritually, in that we come apart from all that demands us every day of the week. I knew the number right off the top of my head here a while back. I'll figure it up here real quick. The Lord says, take 14% of your time, 168 hours in a week, right? Take 14%. And of course, I know we sleep about a third of that, but take 1/7, one day, 14% of the week, and dedicate that to me. All the other 86% work. I mean, and he's done that for our benefit, but it's unto his honor and glory and praise that we do it. Now, indeed, when we take that day and we use it for something we want to do, aren't we robbing ourselves? And don't we truly rob God? We do. We do. And so it's a blessing. Yeah, hard. But this culture presses against us giving up even that day for our Lord. He's the Lord of the Sabbath. He's the Lord that has given us this directive and provided this for us. And he's done that. He's provided it for us. John chapter 20. We take a look here in verse number 19 is our target verse. John 20:19. Then the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and said unto them, "Peace be unto you." And well, he needed to say that, because they went, he didn't open the door. He appeared. And when he appeared, we know from the accounts, he says, "Touch my hands. Give me something to eat. See that it's me." As we would say, or it might be said in our day, "I'm not a ghost. I'm for real." And he said, "Peace. Peace be unto you." And the Lord is a Lord of peace indeed. And so he set that precedent. He met with the disciples on the first day of the week. And some deal with the thing, I'll go ahead and mention this, some deal with the thing, the accounting of the Jews' day is from 6 p.m. one day to 6 p.m. the next day. That's the way the Jews count a day, 6 p.m. to 6 p.m. By our Roman system, we in our culture, in our day, our country, we count days from midnight to midnight. Okay? And so, just yield the day to the Lord. Don't get tore up about 6 p.m. or midnight or whatever. Honor our Lord in the day that he has given us. And may we worship him. May we come apart from the world. May we not pursue those servile and secular things. Sometimes the ox gets in the ditch. Don't be pushing the ox in the ditch. Amen? Sometimes the ox gets in the ditch. I've had to work on my car on Sunday night so I could go to work Monday. Sometimes it's just that way. Actually, sometimes, going way back, I had to work on it in between services on Sunday and Sunday night to get it going for work Monday. I'm glad that those days presently are past. Sometimes that happens. But don't take the ox and trip him up and fall him into the ditch. I know that's bad English. But it is the Lord's day, and well, the Lord could have been there and appearing to them even in that evening, as some of the other scriptures, well, it says here, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, it could have well been 7 p.m., 8 p.m., but it was Sunday. It was the first day of the week. So don't get tore up about that. We're Gentiles, we're not Jews, and just meet it to the Lord as would be right. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, let's take a look here. We believe that the first day of the week is the Lord's day or the Christian Sabbath. It is the Lord's day indeed. It is His day. It's His day that He's given to us and calls us to meet together as His people in His church to worship Him and come apart from the world. Yes, it may not be physical rest. Let's not rewind. Do you want to go back to Genesis? Do you just want to go back to Genesis and the day of rest and forget about what the Lord's given us in the New Testament? You hear what I'm saying? Let's be careful. This thing about the first of the week has progressed with our Lord. I'm thinking maybe sometime in the future about preaching a message just about that. At first, Adam and Eve on the seventh day were not to dress the garden and not to keep the garden. Not collect something to eat. They didn't till at the beginning. might have been the day that the voice of the Lord would come in the garden in the cool of the day and talk to them? Might have been a day of fellowship. Do we want to just go back to that, having been shown all this that we have now? We're blessed in the church age now to meet together to worship our Lord. I'm glad we meet together. And it's a blessing for us. It's a respite from the world, isn't it? To meet together to pray and sing and hear the Word of God taught and preached and rejoice together and catch up together and see one another and greet one another and admonish one another and encourage one another. That if I got to give up some rest to accomplish that, I think I'm better off doing that, don't you? To collectively meet together to worship. Give up some just physical rest. Do we want to rewind? No, this thing's been brought forth. First it was with Adam about resting on the seventh day, and then that was that way all the way up through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob, and then the nation of Israel was at hand, and then the Lord gave some other things to be done that last day of the week. Think about those priests. They didn't rest even on the Sabbath day. But the worship of the Lord was more established for them. And then the Lord Jesus came and established His church, met with them on the first day of the week. We put the Lord first now in the week. And that's the day when we think and we come together to worship our Lord and consider things spiritual and from His Word and learn and grow and edify and encourage and admonish. So I want to rest. Well, maybe it's time to grow up and mature and go ahead and not serve ourselves as we saw there in Romans, but obey our Lord in a thing that we're sending on ahead to eternity. Amen? Understand how the thing has come along. And so we see here, say 1 Corinthians 16, the apostle writes concerning this of alms. That's what this is. Now concerning the collection for the saints, so there was a this church had committed to gathering for, I think, if my memory serves me right, maybe those in Judea or maybe some in Asia Minor. There are saints that are having a hard time. Now, concerning the collection for the saints, as I have given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Okay, so the churches of Galatia are doing so. We know for that down in Judea. And so here at Corinth, it's the same thing. He said, do this. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay by him in store. Bring some alms, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. And when I come, whomsoever ye shall approve by your letters, them will I send to bring your liberality unto Jerusalem. Okay, so it is for the help of the saints at Judea. And so he says, bring your stuff together when you meet. And when I show up there, don't have it be about that be the day that you bring all the stuff. Go ahead and have it there. And then when I come and meet with you, we'll focus on spiritual things that you need. Why bring it the first day of the week? Because that's the day that the church at Corinth met together to worship the Lord together. And that was the expectation. That's the pattern, and it's the way it is. We believe that the first day of the week is Lord's Day or Christian Sabbath, and it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. Exodus 20, verse 8. When you think of Exodus 20, what do you think of? What's there in Exodus 20? I challenge you in that. Do you know? In Exodus 20, verse number 8, we read, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, the fourth commandment. 6 days shalt thou labor." We'll go ahead and read this, "and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it." And so here's where the Lord commanded. He commanded Israel in that progression that I just mentioned earlier about hallowing that seventh day. It's the Lord's day. But now, our Lord Jesus has made it the first day of the week, as we've read and considered. This article says it is to be kept sacred to religious purposes. And that's been the Lord's intent from the beginning. One day of seven. That is the Lord's day and the day of worship as he revealed himself more unto us. We come here to Revelation chapter 1. Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. Brother John on the Isle of Patmos. And he says here very plainly in verse number 10, after he saw... let's read verse 9. "I, John, am also your brother and companion in tribulation and in the kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the isle that is called Patmos for the word of God and for the testimony of Jesus Christ. I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day." On the Lord's day. What day is that? First day of the week. Sunday, as you and I call it in our day, in our culture. "And heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." And who did he see? He saw the Lord Jesus, didn't he? And where was the Lord Jesus? He wasn't sitting on the right hand of the Father, was he? You know that passage? What was our Lord doing? He was walking amongst the candlesticks, wasn't he? He was walking amongst the candlesticks. He was walking among those seven candlesticks that he's going to address in this revelation in the coming two chapters. And he is there, and it's a wondrous sight that John beholds. And the Lord, if the Lord, you know, when it comes up Sunday in our part of the world, what's Jesus thinking? Is Jesus thinking recliner, kick back, lemonade, watch TV? Is that what Jesus is thinking? Is Jesus thinking, go to work, put an extra shift, make a little bit more? Is Jesus thinking that? What's Jesus thinking about 10 a.m. in Olmsted, Kentucky? What's Jesus thinking? That's all we need to think and adopt is what our Lord's thinking. Amen? I mean, whatever the Lord's thinking, whatever the Lord believes about that time. Well, what does the Lord believe come Wednesday about 7 p.m. right here central at Olmsted Baptist Church where we meet? I mean, from his promises and from his word, we know what he's thinking, don't we? It's not, he's not thinking bowling, is he? He's not, is he? He's not. Psalm 118. John was looking to worship even while he was there by himself on the Isle of Patmos. That's just such a blessing the Lord has helped about our brother there on Patmos. A lot of things happened there with that. He looked to worship the Lord even though he was exiled. And the Lord blessed us with a great thing through that, didn't he? In Psalm 118, verse number 24. "This is the day," we sing a chorus with this verse, "this is the day which the Lord hath made. We will rejoice and be glad in it." You know, the context here is, it doesn't really, we can take this verse and apply it to the Lord's day, but you know what, every day is the day the Lord has made, and we ought to rejoice and be glad in it. But certainly the day that the Lord's given us and by example and directive and command even has given us to meet together to worship him, he's made that for us. We need to rejoice in it. Teach our children, our grandchildren to honor that day and to honor the Lord in that day and what he's given to us. It's a day to be kept sacred to religious practices. It's sacred. You know, it's kind of a, I don't like the word sacred personally, and it's probably because of our day and our culture, you know, but we need to sanctify that day, don't we? We need to sanctify the first day of the week. It is the Lord's, and He's made it for us. And it goes on to say here, did you notice this? It is to be kept sacred to religious purposes by abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreations. Now, don't get excited. This does not mean that Monday through Saturday you may engage in sinful recreations. Okay, so the wording there is maybe not as good as it should be. It's not saying that sinful recreations are okay Monday through Saturday. Sinful recreations are never okay. Okay, so let that be understood. But it is a time that we come apart. It is abstaining from all secular labor and sinful recreations. You know, make a difference in the day. Now, if you're driving home and you didn't buy gas during the week and you need gas, buy gas. Don't walk home. But then look to get gas to get you through Sunday earlier in the week when you can. You know, honor the Lord in that. Make the day different. Make it different to where, you know, we do all that. We got 86%. I told that to a potential employer one time. The Lord helped me. It was a time of trial and temptation for me. Things were tough work-wise, and applied for a job and I had the job. I was qualified for the job and could have fit. It was a fit and everything, but they wanted me to be able to travel sometimes on Sunday. I said, "Well, I'll travel if I go to a region where I can go to services on Sunday, But my conviction is I'm not going to turn a tap on Sunday. I'll see you 12:01 Monday morning, wherever you want me to be. But I'm not, because I understand, especially in this kind of work, you open the door and then they'll run through it." And then the fellow, he quoted a verse and quoted the principle in the scripture, "Remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy, huh?" And I said, "Yeah, that's it." And that was it. I didn't have the job. They didn't call back anymore. And the Lord blessed, you know, I made that stand and it was a great temptation. But then after that, I had more work that I could do till I came here. So the Lord blessed and he honored his word in that. But make it different. We've got 86%. I told him, I said, I'm willing to give you 86% of my time to work for you. And I just can't keep 14 for this purpose. And the answer was no, no, you've got to be available when we have a meeting or a convention or something that needs to be set up on the weekend. Secular labor. Where were we? Isaiah 58. Let's take a look here. Isaiah 58. Isaiah 58, verse number 13. Isaiah 58, 13. "If thou turn away thy foot..." Now, Isaiah is writing to... He's a prophet in the days of Judah and Israel, right? And he's speaking to the nation. "If thou turn away thy foot from the Sabbath, from doing thy pleasure on my holy day," you know, don't go shopping Sunday. Got 86% to do it some other time. Now, if your child needs Tylenol and you're out, go buy some Tylenol. Go buy some Tylenol. They need Tylenol, go to Tylenol. They get sick, take them to the doctor. But just don't plan that Sunday is going to be like every other day in every other respect. Honor the Lord in it. Make a difference. Be salt and light that way. The condemnation upon Israel. "Turn away thy foot from the Sabbath." And he's speaking about the seventh day. But the principle, one of seven, is at hand. "From doing thy pleasure on my holy day. And call the Sabbath a delight." It's Sunday. I can't sleep late. Some of you can't with the distance that you drive. But But most of the time with people working during the week and the time that you got to get up and go to work, Sunday still is a later day, generally. All right? Can be. Now, I wouldn't recommend sleeping till 9, you know. I guess that depends on how fast you can get ready, but have a little bit of time to get in touch with the Lord. From doing thy pleasure on my holy day, and call the Sabbath a delight rather than a drudgery, the holy of the Lord, honorable, an honorable day, and shalt honor him, not doing thine own ways, nor finding thine own pleasure, nor speaking thine own words. Then shalt thou delight thyself in the Lord, and I will cause thee to ride upon the high places of the earth, and feed thee with the heritage of Jacob thy father, for the mouth of the Lord hath spoken it. Now that's a promise to Israel. But I think we can see the principle and the thinking of our Lord. If the Lord Jesus met with his church, his first church, they left there in Jerusalem on the first day of the week, you think it's important to him? And as we said earlier, what's Jesus thinking? What's our Lord Jesus thinking about it? In Isaiah chapter 56, let's just back up to verse number 1. Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is near to come, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keepeth his hand from doing any evil. And I think that's what our brother was getting at. Don't do evil Monday through Saturday, and don't make something good evil by doing it on the Lord's day, when it could be done some else. Don't plan to cut your grass on Sunday. Don't do that. Don't do that. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, the Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenant, even unto them will I give in mine house and within my walls a place and a name better than of sons and of daughters, and will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord and to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for my house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. Jesus quoted that verse. Verse 7, there in the latter part. And the Lord God, which gathered the outcasts of Israel, saith, yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Honoring our Lord. The article says, by abstaining from all secular labor and, let's say, personally desired recreations. All right. Is there anything wrong with eating fruit? No, fruit's good, isn't it? Nothing wrong with eating fruit. But you know what? There was a fruit one day at the beginning that the Lord said, don't eat. Amen? It wasn't because the fruit was bad, and it wasn't because the tree was bad. But what was the purpose of that? The purpose of that was so that Adam and woman would know who's God. Right? Let's not take something that our Lord has given and directed us in that maybe we can take and in our minds take and in the modern vernacular just blow it off and say, that doesn't matter. Nothing wrong with eating fruit. But God said, don't eat of that tree. And look what that did to us. And the Lord says, hallow my day for you, mankind, and unto me, especially we that are here in this church today, and worship me in it. Meet with me, and I'll meet with you. And come away from the world on that day and make a difference in that day and be my people representing the truth and what's right on that day. You know, it's been said, the business that is at hand in our world today, if those that claim to be Christians would not have engaged in business on the Lord's Day, we may not be where we are today with everything that's going on Sunday. My appendix checked out on a Sunday evening. I'm glad they were at the hospital. You know, and all that kind of stuff, I won't tell you I've got the answer for all that. I'm glad they were at the hospital on Sunday evening. But there are many things that just aren't necessary. And may we honor our Lord in it. Not focus on what we think we get robbed. Lands, again, we've got 80%, 86% of the week. I mean, 86% left to use it and write good work pursuits, living for our Lord. Let's take His day and make it His day and keep it His day and do so and teach our children such. Wanted to get done with this article tonight, but we just didn't get there. We'll look to get it done next time. And then we'll take a look. We'll look to take a look at that about civil government. We saw that in the book of Romans here recently, but we'll go ahead and go through that because there's some other good verses that are there. And again, we're approaching the time that we will be finished with this study.